the executive director of A New Space Age. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. I'm Paul Plack, and my guest today is Rick Homans, who was just named Spaceport America's Executive Director after working for a while as New Mexico's Economic Development Secretary. Rick, thanks very much for making a few moments out. I understand you're on the road to Las Cruces, Stephen, right now.
I'm actually, driving down to the spaceport this afternoon. It's a beautiful day in New Mexico.
All right, well, listen, let's start off with a basic geography lesson, because I think this whole concept is coming to the attention of a lot of people for the very first time. Las Cruces is how far from the site of the spaceport itself?
Well, the spaceport's about 45 miles northeast of Las Cruces, and Las Cruces is about 45 miles north of El Paso, Texas. So that gives you an idea of where it is. The other community that's nearby is Truth or Consequences, which is about 25 miles northwest of where the spaceport is.
I think Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, stands as a monument to the willingness of people to embrace new economic opportunities. Tell us a little bit about how that town got its name.
Well, this was, some of your listeners probably remember Ralph Edwards and the TV show, the game show, Truth or Consequences. And one night he went on the show and said if there was a town out there in America that would change its name to Truth or Consequences, he'd come every year and hold a big party for the community. And so this little community in New Mexico called Hot Springs met in emergency session, changed their name to Truth or Consequences, and lo and behold, Ralph Edwards came every single year for the Ralph Edwards Fiesta, and that's where the town got its name. So it worked then, and it just seems always like a kind of a fitting name, especially with a spaceport nearby. I'm not sure why, but it just sounds like a good name to be the gateway to the spaceport.
Okay, but at the same time, the whole Roswell, New Mexico thing and the Truth or Consequences thing, both, I think, precondition people to think of what's going on at the spaceport in kind of a frivolous note. But this is not. This is serious business. Has it been a tough sell to get that across in communications?
Well, not really, because within New Mexico, space is a big business in the state, and there's a lot of history here. I mean, the other big thing that happened in Roswell, it's where Robert Goddard came in the 30s, from moved out from Boston and did his experimentation with modern rocketry out of Roswell. And White Sands Proving Ground was the location for the Trinity site where the first atomic bomb was detonated. And then soon after that, the first V-2 rocket flown into space happened from White Sands Proving Ground, which is about 20, 30 miles from where Spaceport America sits. So the U.S. space program actually started in this area. We've had a real history with space and with government programs and with NASA. And I think there's a feeling like we may have kind of missed out on the first space age, but we're not going to miss out on the second space age, which is dominated a lot more by private companies, entrepreneurs, and really making space affordable and accessible to many more people.
Tell me a little bit about the efforts to get the spaceport funded, because for all the apparent sentiment in the state of New Mexico for moving forward, it was a fairly close vote on the local level in Doña Ana County when they needed to pass the sales tax increase in order to get the local funding piece of the puzzle in place. Tell us, you know, why there are so many people who would vote against this, and also tell us what the prospects are in the other two counties, which I understand now also have to hold their own tax vote.
Well, I think anytime you're, number one, raising a tax, and number two, funding a project where you don't have all the answers today, and we were very upfront about that, there's a decent amount of public skepticism, and a lot of it's very healthy skepticism. Some people try to position the tax as a rich versus poor kind of class warfare, which I think was very inaccurate, because what this is all about is creating jobs and opportunity for a very poor part of the state that desperately needs an infusion of economic development and new jobs and new economic activity. So in the end, you know, we always knew it was going to be a very close vote, and I'm just very impressed that the yeas outweighed the nays and that we got it through. But this project really goes back, you know, many, many years. It goes back to the early 90s. And that was another reason why I think it passed, was because this had been proposed as the place where the next space age would be reusable launch vehicles, and where that industry would need an inland spaceport. And they identified this location that is right adjacent to, just west of White Sands Missile Range, and has access to the restricted airspace, elevation of 4,300 feet. A handful of people live within a 10 to 20 mile radius of the spaceport. Good weather, dry weather, all the right conditions for an inland spaceport. And, you know, the time came on our watch when this new industry arrived, and so we went forward. And I think there were enough people that recognized that this is the moment that we've got to grab, we've got to embrace it and make something happen.
What about the vote in the other two counties? First of all, is it absolutely necessary that they approve their tax increases for this to go forward, or are you pretty much out of the gates now?
Well, we're out of the gates for the, you know, to move forward solidly with the project. We've always said it's important to have this local regional support. The fact is the dollars that will come from these other two counties are much less than the dollars that will come from Doniana County, the one that passed the tax. We'll be generating about $6.5 million a year from a quarter cent gross receipts tax in Doniana County. The other two combined will be about $1 million a year that they'll generate. So it's a big difference. And what we're going to do is wait until 2008 to put this before the voters. At that time, there really won't be too much more question about the credibility of the project. We'll have our license. We will have broken ground. We'll be moving forward with construction. And we'll also be able to, in each case, tie a specific part of the project to that community. So they'll have something at stake when they go to the polls. And Doniana County had the whole project at stake. If they had voted against it, you and I wouldn't be talking today. We wouldn't be building the spaceport. So each one of these counties needs to have a similar kind of a thing where there's a piece of the project that's at stake that's directly tied to their county. And we'll develop that over the next year, and then we'll put it up for a vote.
Rick, we need to take a break here for a couple of brief sponsor messages, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about news coming out of Spaceport America and what's ahead for the future.
Absolutely.
My guest is Rick Homans, who was recently named Executive Director for Spaceport America. I'm Paul Plack. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. My guest today is Rick Homans, who recently was named Spaceport America's Executive Director. Rick, straighten me out if I'm wrong, but this would seem like one of those days when you'd open the windows and scream Yahoo, because it seems like they took the coolest part of your old job and made it a new full-time job.
Yeah. Well, the other job had a little more sort of prestige, you know, with cabinet secretary, economic development, the bigger department. So people come up to me and they say, congratulations, Rick, on your new job, I guess. And I look at them and I say, you guess? This is the best job on the planet right now to be building the world's first commercial spaceport. It really is a lot of fun. It's a great industry to be a part of. And you know, just to be on the ground floor of something that's potentially as momentous as this is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I'm thrilled to be doing it.
Well, listen, we talked in the first half of this feature about a little bit about the politics and the economics of the spaceport. Let's talk about some of what's actually going on there now and what's already blossoming for the near-term future. You mentioned the proximity to the White Sands Missile Range. I know Holloman Air Force Base is close by.
That's right.
That relationship looks like it's going to pay some dividends in being able to really amplify the scope of this year's Wirefly XPRIZE Cup located at Las Cruces. What's going on there, and what about this partnership?
Well, what happened was the opportunity to expand the show and move the flying, the rocket parts, the launches, the air show, over to Holloman Air Force Base, which has all the infrastructure in place, has access to White Sands Missile Range for a lot of the technical support, and they can accommodate a lot of crowds there. And so it helped to accommodate a growing spectacle, you know, the XPRIZE Cup, and help to kind of grow it. And at the same time, keep all of the symposium-type events, the nighttime events, the host city status where people stay and eat and drink in Las Cruces, New Mexico, which was very important to us to keep a lot of the economic impact in place for Las Cruces and for Doniana County. So this is something that Peter Diamandis and myself and our staffs worked on with General Goldfein over at Holloman Air Force Base, and they've just been great about embracing this. And, you know, I don't know, I haven't worked with a lot of DOD or Army or Air Force installations before, but I didn't expect them to be as entrepreneurial and as welcoming as these guys are. And they get it. They get what we're doing, and they want to help in whatever way they can. And it should be a great show towards the end of October this year.
Well, let me ask you, because the XPRIZE Foundation press release mentioned an eightfold increase in competing teams and crowds. Is that based on somebody's hope, or is there actual reason to believe that many additional teams will compete in these competitions?
Well, I think the one main one they're talking about is the Lunar Lander Challenge,
right?
You know, which is the way to get from lunar orbit down to the moon and back again. And last year, Armadillo was the sole contestant in this competition. And this year, they've got eight teams that are registered that have been showing up for briefings, and that seem to be on track to actually show up for the XPRIZE Cup and compete for $3 million worth of prizes. And then they're adding other competitions as well, and I think those are going very well too. But, you know, what we're all seeing is just a tremendous increase, an acceleration of technology, an increase in companies that are involved in innovation, and this is what we're all hoping would happen a few years ago when the state bid on the XPRIZE Cup and when Peter Diamandis and the XPRIZE Foundation funded the XPRIZE itself. And it's really playing out just like we would have hoped and anticipated. And that's exciting. And it all happens, comes together at the XPRIZE Cup.
Well, I am really looking forward to escaping what by that time will be rainy Oregon this October and coming down to see it. But let me ask you about your other big news, and that is that a few days ago, the New Mexico Spaceport Authority put out a request for proposal for architectural services to design the spaceport. That's really exciting because, frankly, when I heard about the vote going your way in Doña Ana County, I thought, well, there probably will be a wait now while we wait for this whole thing to ramp up. But bang, this is already going.
No, we're moving forward as quickly as we can. The RFP that we put out is to design the spaceport terminal and hangar facility. The rest of the spaceport has been programmed in terms of road, water, sewer, power, wastewater, things like that. And we're moving ahead with actual design and engineering with all that as we speak. The building that goes on top of the ground is what we're putting out for an international competition. And this is going to be the primary operating base and headquarters for Virgin Galactic. It's going to be the building that people will identify with the spaceport. When they think of Spaceport America, this is the image that they're going to get, the iconic kind of image. And it's really going to be symbolic of this new industry as well. So we expect a lot of firms around the world to compete for this. It's a two-phase competition where first phase is to just have them submit their qualifications and record of projects, and then we'll pick three finalists. We'll give each finalist a stipend of $40,000 to develop design concepts and to cost them out to make sure that they're within the budget that we have. And then from those three finalists, we'll select the architect who will design the spaceport terminal that'll be Virgin Galactic's operating base here in the United States.
Now, are you going to be looking for a design which incorporates some architectural feature which may literally be visible from space? I mean, will you be going for some sort of striking visual aspect that identifies this from a distance off as being the spaceport?
You know, ideally, we'd love to have that. On a very practical level, once you go up 5,000 feet, 10,000 feet, 30,000 feet, and then 100,000 feet, it takes a pretty massive design element, to be visible from space. So we're going to leave it up to the imagination of the best and the brightest to come forward. But that's certainly a piece of this that would be very appealing. Would be some element that's very visible from above. Virgin has, you know, from the beginning wanted to incorporate the eye of the Virgin Galactic design into the design of their own facility there. So that's something that we'll look at as well. And on top of that, it's very important to us that this be a model of environmental efficiency. We want the spaceport to be carbon neutral. We want to pay a lot of attention to water use and reuse, to passive solar. Ideally, if it were possible, we'd love to be off-grid, off the electrical grid, and have the spaceport to be powered by the sun. All of these are things that we would love to have. We don't know how realistic any of them are, but that's what you know, we're looking for from these firms, is to come forward with out-of-the-box ideas and things that will really make Spaceport America a remarkable place in design and in practice.
Well, a lot of the same meteorological reasons that Las Cruces is a great area to have the spaceport in the first place makes it a great candidate for solar.
Oh, absolutely. And this is a great part of the state where the spaceport is. If we weren't there, it would be full of either wind turbines or photovoltaic solar collectors. So we're in a great spot to bring it in. And there's a major power line that runs nearby the valley, actually right through the valley. It's something that we have to build around. And so we've got access to that as well to possibly put that power that we generate, maybe the power that we don't use, back into the grid as well.
This is going to be counted on by the state of New Mexico to provide a lot of jobs, and that's been one of the big selling points for it. Is there going to be a big residential or flexible industrial space component to the design of the spaceport? In other words, it can't just be a launch pad. What else is going to be incorporated?
Well, actually, what we're doing with the spaceport is it's going to be an operating spaceport, and the key to operations, and I've heard this loud and clear from friends like Stu Witt, who runs Mojave Spaceport, is the biggest threat that we will have in the future is encroachment. And so what we are doing is we're actually working to create a 20-mile radius, no-development zone around the spaceport, where we hope to limit any type of commercial, residential, industrial development. We see the manufacturing, the research and development that will come inevitably with this spaceport, that will be located in communities nearby, like Las Cruces, TRC, Alamogordo. The operations and experimental flights, things like that, those will happen at the spaceport, but it won't become an industrial center, because that's going to make it much more difficult to do the kind of operations that we want to do as we move forward.
Okay, so operationally then, for the companies locating there, they're going to have fabrication or manufacturing facilities located theoretically 20 miles out, and then truck in the components to the launch sites just the way NASA does now?
Well, there'll be, for vertical launch, there'll be payload assembly, there'll be rocket assembly facilities there. But say if Virgin is manufacturing its engines for the for Spaceship Two, we see that happening in Las Cruces or TRC or Alamogordo, and trucking them in, not happening right at the spaceport itself. And the operators that we've talked to all think that's the right way to go. They all want to protect the kind of the sanctity of the spaceport as an operating base. And to do that, you've really got to limit the amount of development that takes place nearby.
Again, I think you've got one of the coolest jobs on Earth, a job so cool that it may not always be on Earth. When you open a satellite office, it might be a real satellite. But
that's a good way of putting it.
Congratulations on getting to do something I know you love to do, and we will want to stay in touch with you here at AeroNews.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
My guest has been Rick Holmans, who is the Executive Director of Spaceport America, and you've been listening to a special feature from AeroNews. On the web, you'll find us at Aero, that's AERO-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.